Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of, so we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Today, my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change and never be the same. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So good. I just want to begin today's message before I give you the title and read you a passage of scripture, and it's found in Psalms 91. And it says this: "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." Amen. What an amazing passage of scripture. You know, I remember when I was in school, my amazing parents used to always say to me, you know, like maybe I was saying no to going to a party, telling my friend that I can't go to their party. My parents had reasons. You don't often tell your best friend the reasons because they won't be your best friend anymore. And my parents used to always just say, just blame us. Just say, my parents won't let me go. And you know, there's just so many things, just so many scenarios. And I did that. And I would always just say, mum and dad has just said, I can't. It sucks. I wish I could, but mum and dad have said. And, you know, I can't do that. And what the whole idea was, and we now do this with our kids, I say to my kids, if they got to go to school with this or that or whatever, I just say that mum and dad said. And what it does is it takes the onus off them and places it on their covering. It places them on the ones that actually cover them. If they have an issue with it, you can go talk to my mum and dad. Oh, it's okay, it's okay. You know, well, I understand, or we just agree that this sucks, but we can't change it. You know, it sort of settles the issue. And so mum and dad were our covering in all of these areas of our life. And I actually found it very empowering. It became a strength to me. It wasn't like a weakness that I couldn't stand up for myself. It was actually a strength that mum and dad said, I can't. I can't go here, I can't do that or be a part of it. Now, we also know that there are areas and things in our life where we have to do over and over again. Okay, I vacuum in the house. And then if my wife has to do it, because I'm on a day off, I just need a moment, my feet are hurting, big day at work. And so I come home, my wife's doing it, and guess what I do? I go out and relax by mowing the lawn. And then about half an hour later, I walk back in and put grass all through the house. Guess who ends up back on vacuuming? So we have to do it again. You sweep the floors at home for your husband to finish work, walks in, messes it all up again. You pay the bill. We can all lift our hands to this. And then you just feel like you're paying. Man, I've been paying like these Origin bills like every week. Does anyone else get Origin bills every week? Or is it just me? No, so I feel like a payment I pay. You've got other bills, right? It's probably your internet. And that's why it slows. You didn't pay a bill, apparently. You go to work and then you got to go to work tomorrow again. You know, when does that day come where we're just on this eternal holiday? I don't even think it's in heaven. Do you realize that? It's beautiful, Shane. It's retirement. That's what it's called. Ask my dad about retirement. He works more now than what he ever has. Hey, we aren't doing an interactive service here. So you go to work, you have to go again, you buy your wife a gift, and then tomorrow, got to buy it again. Women, you fix your husband and you're still fixing your husband. She's still fixing me. You got to do it over and over again. These things just, they're not everlasting. Things about life, everything in life doesn't seem to be everlasting. They're temporal, they're temporary in what they are. And before Jesus, humanity required the blood of a pure, spotless lamb sacrifice to cover us of our sins. But it was also temporary. The high priest would enter the Holy of Holies once a year to sprinkle the blood of a lamb upon the Ark of the Covenant as part of atonement for the sins of Israel. This was a sign of blood covering humanity. But they would have to do it over and over again. Every year, they would have to do this. See, we needed a covering for our sins ever since Adam and Eve. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Man, who wants to talk to Adam and Eve one day? The only thing that's been really good for Adam and Eve is they've been in eternal heaven longer than anyone else. So there's those questions as well. But we all need to be covered. And the reality is I can only find in my life of living, I can only find one document in all of this world that says it will cover my sins once and for all. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And for that, we're grateful, amen? Covered by the blood of Jesus. And that's the title of today's message. So the question is why blood as a covering? And I want to explain this. And we're going to look at Leviticus 17, verse 14. It says, "For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is in its blood." Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Preacher number two coming up right now. Good work, John. Not doing a good enough job. So good. Love children. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became," listen, "a living soul." Now, the Hebrew word used for both of these, for soul in Genesis and for life in Leviticus, is the same word, nephesh. And what we see here is that breath of life that makes us a living soul is sustained by the blood. The breath of life that makes you and I a living soul, the breath of life that came from the Holy Spirit, that makes you and I not just living, but our soul living, eternal, is sustained by the blood. When Adam and Eve chose to sin in the garden, the soul was polluted, and the only way to purify us again was through the pure, life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus not only gives life to the body, to the flesh, but also life to our souls. Ezekiel 18:4 tells us that sin makes our souls die, our souls dead. Sin nature can only be brought back to life through the Spirit-filled, pure blood that delivered life in the first place. The blood of the Savior, Jesus Christ. The blood of our God eternal. Amen? So this is why Jesus gave us communion to remember. In 1 Corinthians 11:25, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Jesus." See, when we partake in communion, we are remembering that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood covers us. To understand the power of the blood of Jesus, we have to understand that it's eternal blood. 1 Peter 1:19 to 20 says, "With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." This is why lambs were used in the tabernacle, foreshadowing Jesus. "He indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and I." The first time we see blood used in the Bible, it's as a foreshadow of what was yet to come. In Genesis 3:21, God made tunics from an animal, a blood sacrifice to cover Adam and Eve from their sin. Sin showed Adam and Eve that they were naked, and through a blood sacrifice, God covered their nakedness. Just like in the tabernacle, the high priest would sprinkle animal blood over the Ark of the Covenant as a symbol of blood covering humanity. Through sacrifices and innocent blood, we saw a representation of what Jesus would soon do and now has done for you and I on earth. Amen? That's good, isn't it? So these were temporary and we needed something eternal. Only pure blood that carried eternal life, that awakens the soul of humanity, could do what was needed for you and I. And the answer was and is the blood of Jesus Christ. We need an eternal covering. The blood of Christ is this eternal covering. Colossians 3:3, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Hidden is crypto, which means covered in Greek. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on a covering of Christ," the blood of Jesus. So we have put on Christ Jesus and we are covered by Christ Jesus. It's through this understanding of covering that we say things like, "God sees us through the blood of Jesus." Let me pause there for a moment. Let me tell you here today that when God looks at you and when He looks at me, man, I'm so grateful. He doesn't see Graham the sinner. He sees Graham the righteous. Did I do a, yeah, I did a little drawing. That's good. Just did that as I was talking. So talented. Went to grade 10 for this. God sees us through the blood of Jesus. I just said that. And that's what it is. That's what blood looks like. That's what I look like, not you. You're way more beautiful and handsome than that. But when God looks down at you and I and looks at our soul, He's looking through the lens of Jesus. That's why the Bible says that He's our mediator in heaven. So powerful. And so whoever you are here today, maybe you would class yourself a Christian or not. I believe everyone is a Christian. Some have fulfilled the call and some are yet to fulfill the call. But all it really means is a child of God. Okay, and so people here today, whether you've received the call from your Creator to give your life back to Him, not give your life to Him, it was never yours in the first place. He's let you borrow the flesh body that you have. But one day we'll be reunited and you have this opportunity. It happens here every week, but if you're in a life group or anything like that, it just happens all the time throughout this church, to give your life back to Him. And what that is it's saying, "I am covered by sin and I need the grace and the blood covering of Jesus Christ." Let me tell you, this is how supernatural and miraculous this whole thing is. In one instant of a decision, the blood of Jesus will cover your life. And the enemy will look at you and see a child of God, and God will look at you, Father God will look at you through the blood of Jesus and see the righteousness of Christ. The Bible actually says that we are the crown of Christ, the crown, his righteous crown. And so when Jesus celebrates his victory in the cross, he's thinking of you and I. And he's dancing around heaven. This is how I imagine it. He's just boasting in heaven. Look what I did, the joy set before me. My righteousness now covers them because of my blood shed on that cross. Amen? That's just good news. Just absolutely amazing. Something we can never forget. I don't know about you. Is anyone out here? I feel like this in my life, where it's just like the devil, it plagues us and tries to make us feel guilty of sin. Like, I mean, the smallest to the biggest. Does anyone else feel like that? Yeah. And so let me tell you this, that guilt comes from the devil. Guilt comes from the devil. The call to righteousness comes from the Spirit of God. See, the devil will convict you of your sin, but God will convict you of your righteous standing. Very different, isn't it? And so I might do a sinful act and the Holy Spirit will come beside me and convict me of my righteousness. He'll say, Graham, you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Live in accordance to that. You have the Spirit of God. You can be an overcomer. Bring this before me, lay it at my cross. And it convicts me of it, sure, but in righteousness because of who I'm covered by. As the devil comes and convicts you of that sin, forgetting, making us forget that we are covered by the blood. And he pulls out the humanity in us and he brings our mind into a realm of guilt that will stricken the body. Make us paralyzed in our minds and in our flesh. Sometimes guilt can even stop us from speaking properly. It can make us aggressive. It can make us want to run away. You know, it can make us want to give up on life because we're overcome by guilt. But God says, no, you're not guilty anymore of the sin. Jesus, my son, paid the price on the cross and he rose so that we can be victorious also. Sure, we deserve the punishment of sin, but as believers in Christ, we will not have to walk through that because that's what Jesus did on the cross. That's the gospel of the Word of God. Amen? So, temporary sacrifices were animals in the temple. There was nothing that we on planet Earth can do this. We needed an eternal sacrifice, which was Jesus, because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Jesus' blood shed on the cross brings life back into our souls. I'm going to close on this. With confidence, we can say that our sins are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. We can say we are spared from God's wrath because of the blood of Jesus. You can say in your house that you are protected from the darts of the enemy, the attack of the enemy. You are protected because of the blood of Jesus. You are cleansed because of the blood of Jesus. You have power and authority over the enemy and his camp because of the blood of Jesus. That's what gives us this authority. Church, you are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. You in your world, in your family, with your children and your husbands and your wives, can proclaim victory because of the blood of Jesus. You are healed because of the blood of Jesus. And you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Who knows today that there is nothing like the blood of Jesus. Amen. I was just thinking a bit while I was saying those confessions. The Bible says that we live by faith and not by sight. I want to give, we've got so much time here this morning. That's like the shortest message I've ever preached. That's victory right there. We live by faith and not by sight. Okay. We can see the enemy attacking our family. And the initial question is, where is that blood of Jesus? But let me ask you, do you live by sight or do you live by faith? Because sight, as small as a mustard seed, will move a mountain in your world. Amen? Faith. Faith. Pastor Mel, down the front. Bible College. Faith, as small as a mustard seed, will move them. You might have a diagnosis right now, and you're like, where is the blood of Jesus? Let me tell you what will shift that diagnosis. Faith. And so some old school teaching that I think went a little bit like that was that if you don't have faith, you don't get healed. And so I used to hear a fair bit as a child that you didn't get your healing because you're lacking of faith. No, that's not true. Because when you look at the Bible, you have to look at it from many lenses. And its promises and the things that are true. And so let me ask you this. At the end of the day, when God is considering the word life, is He always considering earthly life or eternal heaven life? So healing in the Bible, when you study out the Old Testament all the way through in the New Testament, the word healing often reflects to salvation. So it's a soul healing as opposed to a leg, you know, internal healing. It's a salvation healing. Because when you come from an eternal perspective as our Heavenly Father does, and He sends His eternal Son who has eternal blood to breathe life back into our soul and our flesh, the word healing has a duality about it. The word deliverance has a duality about it. When he's talking about the soul, there is a duality about it. When He's talking about your life, that you would be well and well is my soul, there's a duality in there. And so sometimes we go, but God, why are you not faithful and I still have this diagnosis? Or my loved one passed away, yet we had prayer meetings all around the world for that person, like we just saw this week with the head of our movement. The question isn't why. If your faith is really linked and solidified in God, you would go, thank you for that deliverance, because now they're in eternal joy. And so we have to, as be people of God, not walk by sight, but walk by faith. And with that mustard seed of faith, you will move the mountain. That's not a if, it's not a but, it's not if you line up all the ducks. It's if you have a mustard seed of faith. So in my life, is this good? Is this helping? In my life, I taint my faith with my disbelief. Where does my disbelief come from? My sight. It's the things I see. That's reality, right? In fact, the truth is we're governed by what we see. This is why the Bible talks about the eye as the lamp to the soul. Is it's not just talking about pornography and what you're seeing is destroying you inside. It's way bigger than that. It's what you see will diminish your stance of faith. You will no longer build your house on the foundations of faith, but on the foundations of circumstance. And we don't live on that foundation. My house is for me and my house. It is built on faith. And through faith, we serve the Lord. Amen? Not through circumstance. It's not through what has happened in your world in church living, the circumstances that have happened in your Christian upbringing in which you build the house of your life. It's through your faith in spite of the circumstances. I'm speaking to someone this morning. You don't come to God here today and give your life to Jesus because the circumstances around your world are just so obvious that God must be real. I'm rich, I've got the car I wanted, I've got the girl I wanted, I've got 15 kids and I prayed for 15 kids and they're all the gender in the right order. God must be real, all the ducks in life line up. No. We come to God because we pray for 15 kids and we get two. But their life changes, but we forget that, right? Their world changes. We come to God because we do struggle with our addictions. We come to God because we do have turmoil. We come to God because the enemy is trying to always deceive us. We come to the one that can cover us because nothing in this world can heal us. Nothing can take the pain away. And so it's because of all of these things, circumstances of life, that we choose to place our faith in the one that has never changed and his word is eternal. And over all of these years, over all of these religions, over all of these theories, over all of these doctrines, his is the only one that has stood the test of time. Never one dot in these pages has ever been changed. Ever. And not one page or one word or one story in the Bible has ever come back into our worlds unfaithful and untrue, void of power and authority. That's why we come to Jesus. And that step of coming to Jesus is your mustard seed of faith. So believers here today, you never, ever, ever have to pray for a mustard seed of faith. Ever. Because the very fact that you've given your life and your soul to Jesus Christ means you have more faith than to move mountains all around this world. What do we have to do? We have to stop looking at the flesh. We have to stop looking with the eyes of the flesh. In other words, the actual eyeballs in our heads right now, we actually have to flick them off and see in the Spirit. This is why I love church on Sunday. I love church on Sundays. Church is like the best church in the world. And the reason why I love it so much is when I walk into this place, I'm just like, would that timer, 3-minute countdown become a 1-minute countdown? Like, can the worship team just get on? Because my eyes shut off. And the eyes of my spirit are just enlightened, and I start seeing things and I just love it. Like, I don't know about you, but when I'm in the presence of God, it's like the giftings come alive, don't they? It's like the promises of God, the word becomes real and you start remembering things and because the Spirit of God is here. This is what I love. And so for you and I, the tension is always in our day-to-day life, not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. It's not having eyes of the flesh that says, I need to fix my own world before I can tell people about Jesus. No. It's having the eyes of the Spirit that says, I walk here with confidence because I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb and I know the one that can cover your life. You don't have to be perfect to come into the house of God. Oh man, you do not have to be a not sinner. Because if that was the case, we would all walk outside right now, right? There is the blood of Jesus covering the life of every person in this church in spite of the circumstances. Amen? That's the power of the blood. What's the power of the blood? That he washes my sins away. And that I stand here before you white as snow. I don't care how you see me. I don't even care how I sometimes see me. The reality is with the eyes of my soul, my spirit man, I'm covered, pure, white as snow, and so are you. Could you just say out loud right now, I am covered by the blood of Jesus. I am white as snow. I am pure and holy. I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that is the truth here today. Amen. Amen. So good. And so, how whatever state you walked in today, if you've never given your heart to God, you've heard that the way you are right now, He looks at you and He smiles and He says, I can work with this. Would you give your life back to me and allow me to mold you? See, God is so full of love. What He doesn't want to do is get your life and destroy you. He wants to get your life and pour His love into you. It's His love that brings the transformation. See, that's complete opposite to the way of the world. The world condemns and comes down. You need to be better. You've got to have a better work ethic. You've got to change this in your life. Husbands to wives, you've got to change. You've got to change. This is the ways of the world. But when God comes into our lives, He brings love. This is why it's a well that flows out of our soul. It's because His love comes deep inside of a person. And that as it overwhelms in your soul, it brings transformation. Paul said to the Gentiles, how could you keep on living the ways you are when you have a revelation of the grace of Jesus Christ? See, it's the grace and the love of God that transforms us and brings us to a point of change.